So here we are again in Hebrews 3, and we've made it down to verse 15 in chapter 3 last time. So we'll start back up and pick up with 14 and get a little continuity going again and get everything going, because, you know, we're talking now about some warnings here that Paul had put out to the Hebrews concerning Christ, and also concerning the things that the Hebrew people did when God, with a high and mighty arm, brought them out of Egypt. And, you know, they was 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief, and they were put on probation. And, you know, those that did come out were the children and grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren of some of those that came out. But they were all basically the younger set that went through the provocation there with God, that they murmured against him and did all these things that provoked him to anger. And so that was the situation. And we read about it, we talked about it last week, and pretty much as we closed the lesson. So we'll pick up today with 14 and go on there, because from 14 to 19 gives us a warning, but it's also the condition of being partakers in Christ. And Paul does a great job of explaining it right out, just how it really and truly was. We'll start in 14, but today's study is the fifth day of September already. I'll just have to put already with that. Because then it's also study six, because it seems like, man, time is just whistling by, and it probably is for a lot of people. I know it seems like for me it is. Let's go back to 14, and it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And so this admonishment here by the Apostle Paul is early on in I believe it's probably after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, in Acts, as we go here. And he has understood, Paul is beginning to get things kind of in order, but it, you know, I think it's an ongoing deal after he had been blinded on the Damascus Road in chapter 9 there in Acts, and was taken into Damascus and kept there for 3 days, and then Cornelius was sent there, and he prayed for him, and he got his eyesight back to some kind of a point, and then the Lord told him what he was going to have to do to pick up the case here, because he had submitted to the Lord fully at that time. He had changed his position in life. He had changed his thinking from provoking the children of God to admonishing the children of God. So he says this, for we are made or have become partakers, and partakers there, it means to share or to be a partner of a share. We have been made or have become partakers of Christ if we hold or grasp tightly the beginning or the onset or the start, if you will, of our confidence. And this is relating to his words and his promises, that becomes our power and our confidence. Because if you believe what he says, if you become a believer in this, then there you go. This is just the beginning of confidence that is going to carry you a long ways in what the apostle is getting. Is the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end? And here again, Paul is dealing with the Jew first, and you can't get more Jew than a Hebrew. Yep. And so it's to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, because it is either or. You know, he goes to the Jew and then to the Gentile, down through the book of Acts. It's first to the Jew, or to the promised one, or to God's elect, and then to those who will hear the word, concerning his plan and purpose. Then we get back to 15, and it talks again about Psalms 95, in verse 7 again. So he says, we're made partakers if we hold on, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. So, again, here we're talking about the things that went on while they were on their 40-year journey in the wilderness, which wouldn't have took but probably 2 or 3 weeks if they hadn't been put on probation. But you see, God does things by his will. And so it was his will that these people that murmured against them and did all these things, even though they got to see, I guess, one of the greatest miracles that ever happened on this earth, was the Red Sea parting and them coming across on dry land. And then turning around and looking and seeing Pharaoh and them get washed all up in the water behind them. Man, what greater thing could you hope for, escaping a country and looking back and seeing God at work for you doing all this stuff?
That would have given me a pretty invincible feeling.
Amen. I mean, it's, but now,
if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yeah, but these people are stiff-necked. Oh, now, yes. You got to remember they're stiff-necked. Okay. But it says today. So, and Paul is right concerning that, because we are not promised another day. Today may be the last day we have. And so we need to continually keep that on our mind. He says, if you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts as in the provocation, or as they did, talking about when Moses brought the people out of Egypt. And it says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So you see, there was differing things happening in these 40-year time, in this 40-year time period. And so they all didn't do the same thing, but they all angered God in one way or the other because they was only two got to come into the promised land. Even Moses, you know, didn't get to come into the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb. They was two of the 12 that went in to spy out the land. When they came back to Moses, and 10 of them said, oh, these people are like giants. We're like grasshoppers up next to them. But Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we can do it. And so they believed God. And by believing God, they were allowed to lead the children into the promised land, or into the land of rest, if you will. That's what it says. For it says in 16, for some, and some there is number 5,100 in the Strong's, and the word in the Greek is the word, and it's spelled T-I-S, tis. Okay? And it means any person or thing or object. And that covers the word some pretty much. So it can be a person, it can be a thing, or it can be an object. It says, when they heard God's word, when they heard God's word did provoke, even though they heard God's word. Evidently, they seen the things that were going on as they left Egypt too. And they saw when the death angel come over and took the eldest of all of Israel, even the people and the cattle. They saw all this stuff. But yet, they stood up and kind of shook their fist at God to some extent. I mean, you know, what we would consider. And they did provoke. And the word provoke there is 3893 in the Strong. And it means to embitter alongside and to exasperate. So, they embittered God and they exasperated God. And it says, howbeit, not all, that came out of Egypt, the offspring by Moses. Not all of them. They all of them came, started, but they all didn't come to the finish line. It's kind of like Paul talking about in Philippians running a race to some extent. They didn't finish what they started. And you go back to verse 14, and it was talking about, you know, in 14, to be steadfast or to be sure unto the end. So they wasn't sure unto the end. And so we get down to 17, it says, but with whom he was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Yes. I think that's the answer to that question. But it says, but with whom those of Egypt was he grieved 40 years? That's the question. And then it says, was it not with them that had sinned? Yes, it was. Whose carcasses, plural, fell in the wilderness. And you know, when you talk about when you talk about carcasses, you're talking about dead ones. It's those not live
bodies
ones.
Without breath.
Right. And
dead souls.
It was dead souls, no doubt. And it says, and to whom share swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So the ones that he sweared to and told them they wouldn't enter into his rest, that was the non-believers. There was a judging going on here in that day, and it was terrible. And, you know, when you go back and you look at that, and you go back and you read the old account of them coming out of Egypt, you see that they had a source of different things that displeased God terribly. Even Moses displeased God terribly. And it says, also to whom are those of provocation, are those who provoked God while they were on this 40-year journey. Swear he God that they should not enter into his rest or the coming into the land of promise. That was what was promised. He said, you know, we're going to go out, we're going on this journey, and when we get to the end of this journey, God is going to provide us a land flowing with milk and honey. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. And even though when they came back, when those spies came back out of the land, they came back out with big bunches of grapes from the grapes of Esco, and they were bounded by men upon staves or sticks, and they were carrying these grapes. It was just weighted down, two men. That's how great the crops were there. And they brought them back to show the people, basically. To show the people, yeah, you know, this
is our promise.
This is a good place to be. And, yeah, no, not so much. And it says in 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God was not going. The stop sign was up. They couldn't go in. So we see, and when it says, so we see, and this is Paul writing here, and he is not only writing to the Hebrews, but he's writing to those Jews that would believe, but he had the understanding here, I think, that this would be kept in holy writ, because we could read it and understand it, what the storyline is, and what would happen to us later on down the road if we didn't heed God's word.
Yeah.
Because chapter 4 takes up God's word and what it means. And I'm going to tell you, if you haven't read it recently, it's going to be something else.
Yeah, so, what better way to show the punishment of unbelief than to use the picture that these people already knew of their heritage.
They have created an example for us. Okay. They that could not enter or not be allowed to go in because of unbelief. The moment or the movement into should have been an exciting case, but they gave it away. They just gave it away because they didn't believe. They just didn't believe it was going to work out. They thought, well, we've come out of that We come out of Egypt. We spent 40 years in the wilderness. And God fed them. He gave them water. He didn't let their clothes get old. He didn't let their shoes wear out. And they could still have children. And they could still be like the father Abraham, the nomadic type that he was, where he traveled the land from one end to the other over, and they traveled in that wilderness on probation. Mm-hmm. And couldn't go in. God didn't allow them to go in. Chapter 4. Okay, verses 1 through 13 here deals with the rest giver. It's because it's going to deal with Christ, with God through His Son. And so we have this exhortation. And verse 1 is an exhortation. And it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He's saying, now, here's the example. And here's what I've laid out. You can read and understand it. And if you come short of it, you know, these promises that God made to these people, many of them were conditional. They had to do something. And here it was to believe God's word. It was as simple as that. That was what they were chosen to do. To believe God's word and to carry it to the world and show it to all that they met, to get to where they can understand it and teach it. And he says this, "Let us, Jew and Gentile, therefore," and we always need to look and see what "therefore" is there for. So here, it is fear. We need to be fearful because of what befell those that were rescued out of Egypt and made this long journey, a lot of them did, and then died off before they got to go in the promised land, for lest, he said, unless there is haply, fear lest, haply, a promise being left us of entering into his rest. You see, this promise was conditional. You had to believe that he was going to get you there. And you were going to believe him that he would be able to get you there.
Yep.
That any of you should seem to come short because of failure to believe God, that you might become short of it.
Gets back to that faith and what he said.
Yeah. And even Moses got to climb up on the mountain and look over to see it. But Moses didn't get to go because he had smote the rock against God's will or whatever happened over there. It's been a long time ago since I've been involved in that, but I still remember some of it. So, we'll turn the page and get into a little of the rest of it, because this chapter 4 is very, very telling. And then we're still talking about the rest giver here, about God that made the promise. It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Gee. You know, when you hear the word of God, it should have or make an impression on you. Whether it was preached around you or directly to you. But here, he is talking to the Hebrews, but Paul, being Gentile, understood what his calling was here too. Because, you know, when you go back and you look, that he persecuted these people for a while and then God straightened him out. He says, for unto us, Jew and Gentile, was the gospel or the good news preached. We were all evangelized, Paul says. As well as, or as well as are also unto them, the Jews, especially that were chosen, but they got the word too, even though they were chosen to carry on God's work to those they might come in contact with. It said, but the word or the logos preached and evangelized did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed. And mixed there is 4786 in the Strong's. It means to commingle or to combine with something. And this something here is faith. The preaching needs to be combined with faith because these people were to have faith in the one that chose them and put them in this position of being the ones that would carry the word of God to the world. Okay? Combined with faith, united in them that heard it. Gee. So it says this, Paul says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And he's writing as he was in that group, but it's happened a long time before his life, but yet he understood. He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he says, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth, of the world. And so three is quite a lot of information. It says, for we which have believed, and that word believed is pistis, do enter into rest or have our promises fulfilled. As he said in Psalms 95:7-11, as I have sworn in my wrath or my anger, if they shall enter into my rest. Although is 2543 in the Strong's, and the word in the Greek, probably going to butcher it, but I'm going to say it anyway, kaitai. Yet, and that means yet or nevertheless. So he is saying to them, think about this now. you had the chance to enter into rest. If they had the chance to enter into rest, and those that believe are going to, but those who didn't, their place is still there. Oh my word. The works is his part. You see the works in three. The works were finished. When God created, when he made things, all this stuff was put in place. That it would take place this way. And so, those that got swallowed up and those carcasses that fell in the wilderness, they had a place in the rest. But they couldn't believe it. They had listened to the lie. And they had loved, evidently, they had loved the idolatry that was in Egypt.
Yeah, it didn't take them long to start murmuring and whining.
For all them years.
And turning back to their old gods, right, if you'll remember.
Yeah. The work, that's God's part, was finished. From. That from there is apo.
Not before, but from the capitole.
Yeah. Okay, the apo is a line from the edge of a circle or enclosure. See, if you draw a circle and you run a line from out somewhere to the edge of that, and you don't penetrate that circle, it's not entering in. You haven't right, went toward the diameter of this thing. And the earth is a circle. And so they had to place within God's circle that he had made for man. And their place was still there. They didn't use it. I guess their children and grandchildren got to use it. But this is what he's saying here. I made you a place. You had a place. And if you just believed, you would have gotten it. You would have gotten rest. And also you would have gotten a place in the promised land like you were promised. But you didn't do it. Okay? It says, the works were finished from the foundation. And the foundation is the noun katabole.
You'll see it when it's termed this way. You'll either see it before or from.
From, yeah.
And it makes a big difference whether you're dealing with the church or the kingdom. It's a very good pointer.
The works were finished, you see. The works were finished from the foundation and was not cast down, but was to be left for progress and perfection of the world or of the cosmos. See, if they would have entered in and they would have done everything that God told them to do, it would kind of have been another Eden, so to speak, on the earth. They would have, not only would they have had the crops, not only would they have had the cattle, but they would have had the houses too. And you see, that's what Adam left the garden. He didn't have a house. God told him, well, you know, all this is out there, but, you know, I've put skins on you. You're going to, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to make your way, but you're going to have to do your own building of buildings. So, and that's progress and perfection here that God is telling these people, well, you know, my work was finished there. I'd done what I promised you that I'd do, and it's still there. Okay. How much time have we got left? Oh, yeah, we can go for a little bit.
Yeah.
Go to verse 4. It says, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." So, this is Genesis 2:2. This is where he was at that place. This is what God was looking at when he was talking about that place in Scripture. This is what we have of God's Word. This book was written for sinners to be able to know their Creator and to get redemption from the words of this book. It says, "For he spake," or "he hath said," in a certain place in Genesis 2:2, "of the seventh day on this wise or in this way." And what he said was this: "And God did rest the seventh day from all his work." So he here is, way back then, was introducing and making sure again here in Hebrews 4 that they understood that this day of rest was created like the earth was for them. It was for them. God didn't need to rest. He is all powerful. He got just as much power today as he had 10,000 years ago, or Amen. Maybe a million years ago.
Same as today, today, and forever.
Forever. So, it's the same. So, he didn't have to rest, but the example was set forth in that he rested. And it's not my job to question God. It's my job to try to explain. Okay, let's look at verse 5. And it says, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." So, he's saying, not only did I create me a time and space to rest, but I also did it as an example for you. Whoever you are, whether you be Jew, whether you be Hebrew, or whether you be Gentile. At that point, was the way it was. Verse 6. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." So again, there's reference to that, because he is now talking about a perfect rest in the future. Because you see, when he made it, it was finished. It was ready to be done then, and if it wasn't done then, it could be done later, or it could be done at his will. And it wasn't going to change. You know, it was there, and it had been promised. But they didn't take it by unbelief. So it says, "Seeing therefore," understanding, Paul is asking us to say, you understand what I'm leaving you here, you Hebrews. "Seeing therefore, it remains that some," or certain other ones, it remains that some, or again, the certain others, must enter into or therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief or disobedience. So it's still there, and that rest will be had by others who will believe. You see, it's not there, but we can say that with all confidence now, some 2,000 years later, that when he created, he made everything ready for his plan and purpose for the ages. It's there. It's ready. And so, you know, whether they took advantage of it or where somebody else is going to take advantage of it, you see, it's like building a hotel, and only a few people use it for a while, but the hotel, all the rooms are still there. They're still ready to be filled. And this is the way his land that he is going to give when the earth is redone. It's going to be pristine. It's going to be ready. It's always been there. It might have not have been in the exact shape, but yet all this was laid out and set up for this purpose. It was there.
Remember, Christ told him, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And if I go and prepare the place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also.
Yeah.
That's
the way it works.
And that all happened, like you've already read, since the catabole of creation.
So he came and went back.
Sometime between the time he died and went back, resurrected, and paid the price with his blood, then he began to prepare for them a place.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I believe literally that God had, he chose not to know whether Israel would accept him or not. Because during this whole book of Hebrews, we haven't got to Acts 28 yet.
No, and it's a new creation there. There's a new creation out there.
In the heavens that would come down out of heaven from God and rest on the earth.
On the earth. That's what Abraham looked for, and he couldn't see it.
He showed it to Abraham. Abraham looked for a city.
Yeah.
He somehow knew.
Yeah.
Although Abraham never mentioned it, Paul tells us that Abraham looked for that city.
Yeah.
Whose builder and maker was God. That's what Christ, I believe, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah. Let's go to verse 7. We'll do probably 7 and 8 because the rest of this chapter is, we really need to take a good stiff look at it. He said again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So, the story that was written in the 95th Psalm goes on. That today can be any day of their life that they will hear the voice of God and believe.
And his whole message here is, believe this now. Do it today. The time is running out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, he said again, or to read again, seeing, he there in 7 is the word Joshua. Uh, limiteth a certain day. Limited or defined a certain day, saying in David, Psalms 95, 7, today. And then after so long a time, as it is said again today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. All these years after the inauguration of the Sabbath, you know, he's saying this. After the Sabbath was set up, and after they had it, and after they didn't pay any attention to it, and all this. So the ones that kept coming and preaching was making it clear that today was the day.
Even after all the...
And it still is.
All the evil kings and all their backsliding and all their turning away from God of the Old Testament, then after the 400 years is over, that Paul would come along after the death of... Even after they killed his son.
Yeah.
And rejected him, that God would come along and provide them a man to tell them, I will still take you back.
Amen.
You'll just come into my rest.
Amen.
And offered them rest, and they wouldn't take it.
Yeah. Still there. It says in verse 8, we'll close here, because we'll pick up with verse 9 in the next study. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest then, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Well, we'll go ahead and do now. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
See, it was Christ that spoke of the day to come when they'll have that rest.
Right.
And he said, I'll come again and receive you into myself.
And whenever he came, it was understood that it was still out there. All this was still out there for them. If they would only believe who he was.
In spite of everything they had done.
Yeah.
Down through all the centuries.
Yeah. And now, you know, him having come and taken care of the blood sacrifice and taken care of all those kind of things and made it possible that we could be adopted into the family of God as people of the rest of the world. And this goes back to it. A place for you has been established from before the foundation of the earth was laid, regardless of what calling you have. It was done. Before he ever created, he knew about his mystery truth that was going to be revealed down there. So we have been chosen from before the foundation. We have been chosen before he ever created anything. If this isn't something that makes you stop and think, I don't know what can be said that would make somebody stop and think. And people say, I'm enjoying what I've got here now. That's not anything compared to whatever it is that he has prepared for you.
For them that love it.
Yeah. Amen. That's the way it is. And we'll stop there, Will.
Regardless of what hope people have. I have to believe that anything that God has for us in the future, for whatever calling they have or whatever blessing he's promised them, it's going to be way better than what we have in this life.
Oh, much
because
better,
it's a redo. It's a
restoration. It's a
restoration. Closer back to the way it was when God was all in.
Amen. So, and then he talks in the rest of this chapter about the Word of God and how powerful it is and what it does. And sometimes we give it a little lip service, but we don't ever really stop to say, well, exactly what is he saying here? And that's an important thing. In verse 12, it took me a whole page of notes.
Wow.
To write down what I wanted to say concerning 12 and 13.
Sounds like we may get one verse done next week.
Well, no, I basically do more than one page, you know, of notes, but that's how important it is to know when he talks about the Logos, the Word of God, how important it is to get the understanding of what it does and how it operates. It's an operation in itself. The Word of God is what made everything we have possible. It was the Word of God that brought it through that way. So, will you guys be here next Wednesday, or are you going to be gone?
Yeah, we'll be here Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, conference is coming up. Yeah, we're not leaving until Thursday.
Okay, so. If you're going to be here next Wednesday, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, we will be here Wednesday.
That'll be a good one to go on there. So thank you, everybody, for putting up with me and for the fact that we do stir up God's Word in our own hearts a little bit, and I hope it does you also. God bless you.